Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst.
The phrase that I like to use is 26 together. There are 26 guys that on a daily basis are going to chip in and help this team win. It's not a great team, but it's a good team. Got a chance to be a great team if they can get healthy and get back together again.
And the pitcher, a 12-game winner already this year, Steve Stone.
Former American League Cy Young Award winner. 3.5 decades plus of excellence in the booth. No one breaks baseball down like Stoney.
They've been trying to keep a lot of pitches away from Jose Abreu tonight. I'm thinking this is a really good matchup with him and Otero. Let's see if he gets careless with one.
In the air left field. Allen back at the warning track. It is gone! How good of a matchup!
Jose did indeed enjoy the offerings of Dan Otero.
Steve Stone with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love talking to Steve Stone, and we welcome him on the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Steve, good morning. How are you?
I'm just terrific. How are you?
I was saying to David, like, I don't know that the Sox situation could be much better right now. Getting that sweep in Baltimore, adding to the whatever it is, 18 games over 500, feeling great about the lead in the division, and meanwhile, players on the way. So it's kind of a wonderful situation right now at the All-Star break.
Well, I think one of the things that characterized the White Sox organization for a lot of years was not the best draft and development organization. However, that's been put to rest. If you take a look at, seven, eight of the last number one draft picks and the development process that's gone on in this organization, you'll realize when you look around this major league team, look at how many of the guys came out of the White Sox organization. I mean, they've done a wonderful job, not only drafting, but getting these guys ready to eventually come to the major leagues. And that's really been spotlighted this year because you've had so many injuries. There's so many guys playing that you never thought, if they got a shot this year, you know, maybe be a cup of coffee in September, something along those lines. But that hasn't worked out. I mean, you get a recent number one in Andrew Vaughn. I think you saw yesterday just what an impactful hitter he's going to be. You look at some of the other picks around, Carlos Rodon was a third pick in the country. Hadn't really lived up to what he was supposed to be because he had been hurt. But now this year you're seeing what the Sox saw in him to make him the third pick. You take a look all around and you see recent number ones coming in and doing the job and keeping this team. And I want to correct you just one second, only because it's the high water mark of the season. It's 19 over 500.
19, that's even better.
Yeah, that's the highest they've been all year long. They're dominating weak teams, and that's what you're supposed to do. And everybody says, well, they're 500, a little under 500 against the good teams and dominating the weak teams. Yeah, that's how you get to the playoffs. That's exactly what you do. Then you look at the run differential at plus 117, and only Houston is better. Everything has been coming up roses for a team that that had some really bad things happen to it. They're the only team in the division over 500 away. It's tough to win on the road in Major League Baseball, and they've been able to do that. So, yeah, there's a lot of real positive things going on, and then you factor in the 8-game lead, and you're feeling pretty good about this first half.
Steve, to your point, looking at the draft picks, I mean, 8 of the last 9 first-round draft picks have contributed this season. 13 draft picks of the current 26-man roster are people who have come through the system. You look at the White Sox last night, they draft a shortstop out of Indiana, the high school kid, Colson Montgomery, and he is, you know, a natural type of athlete. What changed in their process that they have now begun, as you said, before that wasn't the case with the White Sox? Did something in your mind change in the way they're evaluating and the way they're developing? Because something is very different, and they're benefiting from that.
Well, I think things change with the change in personnel in that front office and development. Now, they have a lot of holdovers from past administrations there, but they also have the core of the same guys who have been around. So it's just it may be a difference in philosophy. I don't know. I can tell you that these guys, like the team, they work very hard at it. But then you look at some of the picks. I mean, you know, Houston's a wonderful team, right? They've got a lot of talent. They've got a really strong minor league system. Then I look back at some of their recent number ones. I see Brady Aiken, number one.
Right.
I mean, he was awful. I see Mark Appel, number one. He was awful. This is a team that has a lot of talent, talent enough in their front office to be able to put together some really fine baseball players. But you whiff. So what is it? I think the key, and this is the key for any team, is the player development people have to work hand in hand with the scouting department, because a player is scouted for a certain reason. And then he comes in, and if you develop him properly, you're going to probably see exactly why he was scouted in that way. And that's what the Sox are able to do. It's not only scouting these guys, but it's getting these guys in and then developing them. And we're seeing the White Sox do something that a lot of teams don't do. And I think that probably makes people feel pretty good about coming to the White Sox initially. And that is, when they get a guy they think can play, he comes to the major leagues pretty quickly. I mean, look at Chris Sale. He was there the year he was drafted. Look at Garrett Crochet. He was there almost immediately after being drafted. So some teams want to take their guys really slowly through the system, make every stop at AAA, AAA, and then get to the major leagues, and it takes them 4 years or so, depending whether they're college or high school. The Sox don't do that. And so I think if I was a young player coming out and I was drafted by the White Sox, I would consider myself pretty lucky, because if I get off to a really good start and play really solid baseball, I know I got a shot at coming to the major leagues before I spend 4 years getting minor league meal money, riding minor league buses, going into ballparks that are a little shaky at times, although things are getting better in the minor leagues these days. But the Sox move their guys up, and they want to pretty much show you why these guys were drafted and developed in the first place, because they can play. I mean, look at Jake Berger after 2 Achilles tendon surgeries. He's back and he's hitting the baseball. I mean, he's back playing in the major leagues. You see great stories up and down the line for the Sox this year. And it's really an interesting year to be number one White Sox broadcaster, number two to be a White Sox fan. This has been really entertaining.
We have seen them in recent years kind of draft a guy over slot, Jared Kelly, and sign them and have to give up other picks when you do that. Andrew Dahlquist, I think they did that with him in the third round. Do you expect more of that in the rest of this draft, Steve, or do you think they'll try to kind of settle in and just look to replenish?
No, I think quite obviously when they take a look at who's available, if they can find a guy that they really like and they have to go over slot down in the second or third round, maybe even the fourth round, I think they'll do it. I think they have always been able to do that. And then, you know, quite obviously later in the draft, well, then you have to pay below slot to a few guys. But, yeah, if they really like somebody, they pretty much go out and get that guy regardless of what it costs. And I think the proof is in the pudding in this case, because you see a system that's pretty good. And it's really funny because they were talking about where the White Sox organization was rated, among all baseball as far as prospects are concerned. And it was right in about the middle of the pack, I don't know, 14, 15, 16, something like that. But the fact is that all of those guys that probably would be in the minor leagues, they're up here now contributing to the major league team. So it's got to take something from your system as far as the talent that's down there, because a lot of that talent that would normally be down there is up here because of injuries. So I think that I think the future is bright for the Sox. I think they have a whole lot of talent. And then, you know, when the guys who are injured come back, Madrigal is not going to come back this year, but when Aloy gets here, and that shouldn't be too long down the road, and when Luis gets here, that'll be a little bit longer than that. But when they get back, then it becomes a really difficult decision. What exactly do you do? And that's one of the problems. That's a good problem to have.
So, Steve, yesterday you were having a conversation on the air with Jason about Dylan Cease, and I asked a follow-up question, but you didn't hear me through my television set. but it was really interesting in what you were suggesting in terms of his usage in the second half. Dylan Cease has made 18 starts. He's got 92 innings thrown this year. He's been pretty good, 7-4, and he'll be up and down. But I think overall, when you win 11 of his 18 starts, he's had a pretty good first half. What were you suggesting, and what's the smart thing to do in terms of Dylan Cease in the second half for the Sox?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of guys that fall in the same situation as Dylan. Young pitchers who have exceeded by a great margin what they did last year, which isn't difficult because last year was a 60-game season. But when you look at the amount of innings that Dylan and a lot of these young pitchers have pitched yearly in their careers, you'll realize that if they keep going in a standard rotation and get their normal 32 starts, they're going to be in an area they've never been in before. And number one, you've got to realize that the best starting rotation does not necessarily win when it comes to middle of August through the end of October. Let's be optimistic about how long the season lasts. The best rotation doesn't win. The healthiest rotation wins. So the key is going to be, first, you have to win your division. I mean, that's important. And the Sox will obviously point toward that because that's how you get into the playoffs. Then you start to worry a little bit about where you're placed. I mean, right now, the Sox have less losses than Boston and less losses than Houston. They have one less win than both of those teams. So they are playing in the same neighborhood as Houston and Boston. If you've got the best record, obviously you're going to play at home and you're not going to play the tough teams right off the bat. That's a consideration, but not the most important. The most important is you set up your rotation and then you make everybody healthy. So what I think is going to happen to not only Dylan Cease, I think they're going to slowly pull back the innings. They're not going to let him go 110 pitches into a performance or 105 pitches. They might start him, but let him go a couple of innings. Then obviously it affects the wins and losses. But the object of this is not individual wins and losses. It's team wins and losses. And the object is to make sure that every one of these starters are healthy when we get into late season baseball, meaningful baseball. And the Sox have every intention. It looks like they're going to be playing meaningful baseball into October. To make that happen, you have to have the guys. You have to have Carlos Rodon's another guy who falls in that category. He's thrown 45 innings, something like that, 47 innings the last 2 years. And now he's suddenly in rotation, throwing every start, going deep into ballgames, throwing 110 pitches, 105 pitches. Look, he's a horse, but he's a horse right now. Will he be a horse as we enter into postseason play or meaningful games in September? To make sure that he is, you've got to limit some of his innings, maybe skip a start every now and then. You know what happens a lot of times, and this is something that you can't predict, but I will predict it. You're going to find some guys that go on the IL with, just maybe little hamstring tweaks or something along those lines, maybe a little, maybe a little oblique situation, and they're going to get 10 days to just relax and maybe throw the ball around a little bit, maybe do a little running softly, and then they're going to come back rejuvenated. I think a lot of pitchers around the league that will happen to, because you have to find a way to send them on a bit of a vacation to limit what they're doing. You can't have the conventional 32 starts, 210 innings during the season for guys who haven't been there before, number one, or had limited innings the last couple of years because of a 60-game season because of an injury. That's the protection mode that this team is going to have to start thinking about now. It's not only the White Sox. It's every team with some young pitchers who have never been there before. And Lance Lynn is no exception to that. He's a veteran pitcher. But historically, the last, 10 starts of the year, he hasn't been as effective as the first 20. So you look at his history and you say, okay, we got to protect him a bit. Maybe in Lance's case, protect him from himself because he's a horse. He wants to go deep into ball games each and every time. But again, they got to keep him ready for the meaningful games late in the season.
And obviously Michael Kopech is a guy you think of when you think of the limited amount of innings he's been able to pitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's an unbelievable weapon. So you want that weapon at the end of the year. You might even want to extend him out. I don't know, but you got to be awful careful about how you use him.
Yeah, he's a guy also coming back from basically 2 years of inactivity.
Yep.
But think about where they're easing him to. Now, he's pitched an inning the last few starts out because yep. he did have a bit of a hamstring issue, and so he was put on the shelf for a while. He's come back throwing the ball every bit as well and maybe better than he was throwing it before. But imagine if he's ready to go. He's not going to be starting games unless you want to make him an opener. But imagine if he's ready to go three or four innings. Look at what a weapon that is. If you have the lead after five and Michael Kopech comes out of that bullpen and is throwing like he's throwing now. I mean, it's lights out. He was just unhittable in Baltimore. I mean, he threw an inning, struck out three. They didn't come close to touching him. And that would be a huge weapon to have. So they have to make sure that Michael Kopech is stretched out a little bit. You don't want him to be a one-inning pitcher. He's not a closer right now. But you'd love to get multiple innings from him and make him part of a really successful bullpen rotation that comes into games to lock them down.
Steve, what's the best part about Tim Anderson making the All-Star team?
I think it's not a vindication for what Tim has done because Tim has played as hard as he can all the time. And I think when you take a look at a guy who has the best batting average in the major leagues since the start of 2019, you'll realize that somewhere along the line, you got to be rewarded for that. And I think Tim has been underappreciated nationally for whatever reason. I think he's very much appreciated among the White Sox fandom. Because in many respects, he's the face of the franchise. He's the guy that lights a fire under this team. He's the guy that goes around telling everybody, hey, you know, let's get up. We can do this. Let's get this going. Let's, you know, today's a big game. We've got to go out and get this one. And Jose Abreu is a leader also, but he's a leader in a different way. Tim is a very vocal leader. And he's the guy, you know, to give you an idea how one guy can impact a veteran on the team, Billy Hamilton is a perfect example. He kept telling Billy, you know, you don't have to be the running guy. You don't have to be the defensive guy. You can actually be hitting Billy. You can actually hit the ball. So go out and hit the ball. I mean, show people that they've been wrong these last few years about just pigeonholing you into one spot where you can only come in the game in the eighth inning to play defense. And Billy Hamilton has responded by surprisingly getting some meaningful hits for our ball club. But that was a result of one of his teammates believing that Billy could be more than he'd been. So when a player has that kind of impact on your team, you say to yourself, okay, number one, we have a leader, but it's time to get some national acclaim. I mean, Tim started it with the bat flip, and it's nice to be known for that. But it's also very nice to be known for your abilities. And again, you know, he wins a batting title. He wins a Silver Slugger Award. He's improved his defense probably two or three times as good as he was just a few years back. And so all the things he does are really good and help the White Sox win. And now they're starting to understand it nationally. And I think if the White Sox get the postseason stage that I think they're going to get, I think Tim is going to have a spotlight on him even more.
Steve, great stuff. Great talking to you. Really appreciate it. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, thanks, guys. Have a good show, and I'll talk to you down the road.
Great.
That is Steve Stone. Always a joy to talk to Stoney.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Really interesting stuff about the usage yep. of pitchers, not only with the Sox, but across baseball. And you wonder how difficult it would be to talk a guy like Lance Lynn into taking a vacation.
Yeah. You know, that's he doesn't like the stomp, that's for sure. And you know, he's on a 1-year deal with the White Sox. So you could load up on him and not worry about what happens in the future. But I think you're wise to have him at his best come playoff
time. Absolutely. You also would, so you take a different approach with a guy like Dylan Cease because he's younger and maybe you have more of a future with him. Is that what you're saying?
I think we should talk about it.
Yeah,
312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
These guys inspire me, so I'm not lacking for energy because they pump me up. So don't need to break. They need to break. I don't need to break. I'm ready to go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's Tony La Russa. That's TLR himself. And he's got more energy than the team. Well, he's ready to go. He doesn't need a break.
Can't blame him. I mean, 19 games over 500, 8-game lead. You have all sorts of momentum. It's got to be fun to go to work if you're Tony La Russa. And you can see that, you know, the age question, which we spent the offseason talking about and discussing, you know, you feel young when you go to the ballpark and your team is the best in the American League. It's got to be a lot of fun to be Tony La Russa right now.
You know what's funny? He was talking the other day about his friends in baseball contacting him, and what they talk about is our starting pitching. And I'm kind of laughing to myself thinking, like, God, Tony's friends in baseball have got to have an unbelievable amount of baseball experience, right?
Yeah.
If you've been friends with Tony all these years, then you've got at least 20 years in, 40 years in, whatever it might be. But that's pretty cool that that's what they're seeing from the team.
The frame of reference.
They're watching.
The comps in his head. When he looks at Lance Lynn, does he see Lamar Hoyt? You know, when he looks at...
I do.
I know, because you remember 1983, but that's kind of the range of managerial experience that he's drawing from. And so, good for him. And you know what? I think that we talk about, you know, he's rejuvenated and he feels like he wants to not take any days off. And it goes back to our conversation with Stoney, which was terrific. This is a fascinating idea that the White Sox now have not only the luxury of having an 8-game lead going into the second half where they might be able to rest some of their starting pitchers, but is it a luxury or is it an obligation or is it a duty now in today's, you know, game this year after last season's truncated season with a lot of young pitchers? Do teams have an obligation to view the starting rotation differently in terms of, you know, 5-man rotation, 32 starts, et cetera, you know, 200 innings is a target. Has that changed? Is this a one-time deal this year, or is this something that's going to be changing throughout the course of the next several seasons, Molly?
You know, it's fascinating, David, because I go back to, you know, was it Rick Hahn was talking about having a conversation with Kenny Williams about the idea that these guys haven't had any time off from their arms. You know, maybe they're going to be stronger than we thought they were. Now, I don't think that's the case. I think Steve Stone's absolutely correct. You have to watch the number of innings and all the rest of it. I don't want it to become even more specialized than it already is. I don't think it's a good idea. I want to see pitchers eventually get back. I get it. There's a certain amount of buildup that you need, and guys haven't been able to pitch the number of innings they need in order to be successful and be able to maintain where they're at. And, you know, the whole dead arm thing and the idea that you're going to need to preserve and make sure that your guys are all ready to go. The luxury of having, of being, is it 19 games over 500?
Yeah.
My God, that's 19. Just fantastic. The luxury of that is it allows you to pick and choose a little bit. You can bring up a spot starter. You can give a guy a day off. You can go on a 10-day IL and, you know, skip a start or two if you want to, and hopefully have the guy as sharp as ever.
So how do you counter that with the idea we heard from Dylan Cease, I think it was probably a week or so ago. He says, I'm 25. I'm built for this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got Lance Lynn that we know is as animated as any pitcher and as intense as any guy on the mound who doesn't want to come out of any game at any time. So good luck with that argument. And how about Carlos Rodon? He's as competitive of a starter as you have. So how do you tell these guys in the midst of the best seasons that they may have team-wise of their careers that, okay, step back, less is more, and we don't want you to do anything for 10 days. Or by the way, you're going to skip this start because even though you might be on quite a bit of a roll right now, we're doing this because it's best for you. That's hard to do for with an athlete, right?
I think it might be an important thing to do for an athlete. I don't have a problem with it at all. I mean, I think it's about, you know, the reason that you build up a lead in the division, the reason that you build up a record that can get you into the playoffs is in order to put yourself in the best position so that when you finally get to the playoffs, you know, whether it's having home field advantage or whether it's having your guys rested to the point where you have an advantage. That's why you beat up. That's why you bum slay to begin with,
okay,
right?
Right.
Because it allows you the leeway later on. If you need to, if you build up enough equity, you can give some of that away to make sure you're going to be at your best when it matters most.
How do you apply that to a guy like Liam Hendricks then? And maybe that doesn't apply to a guy like Liam Hendricks.
Maybe, oh, I think it should.
Liam Hendricks, saw him yesterday.
Yep,
he leads the American League, I think, in games finished.
Yeah.
Certainly leads him in saves. But you wonder the extent, and even though he's had, you know, I think 40 appearances before the All-Star break before when he was with the A's, he wants the ball every other day. He's a guy that's probably constantly chirping in the ear of a Tony La Russa or an Ethan Katz. And how do you save him from himself when he is the guy who's going to be the first one, you know, at the front of the line wanting the ball to pitch every day or as often as possible?
Well, I think that is obviously a challenge for the manager, but I think you just do it. You just make sure, you just let the guy know, hey, you know, we love you, but we don't need you to do this. We need you to do that. And it's about you being where you're at when we need you to be there, and we'll use the hell out of you once we get to the playoffs. But, you know, we're going to give you a week off. We're going to rest you for a little bit. We're going to not worry about overtaxing that arm.
I know that as a Sox fan, even with a 19-game over 500 record, you're going to worry about something in the second half, heading in to the second half of the season. When you look at the starting rotation, and you look at the usage for Dylan Cease, and you look at Lance Lynn, do you have concerns over wearing them out? Do you think that Dylan Cease has been used too often? He's got 18 starts, Mully, 92 innings for a 25-year-old who hasn't done this before. That's a pretty sizable load for the first half of the season. Where's your concern level with the starting rotation?
Well, I mean, number one is injury. I mean, that's number one. You just worry that someone would seriously get hurt and you wouldn't have the strength of the team. The starting rotation has been the strength of the White Sox. It's the reason they're in the position they're in. I want them to have everybody available and at their best come playoff time. So whatever it takes to ensure that, you do it. I love the way this team has created a certain amount of competition within the starters. I love the way this team, all the starters seem to be hanging out in the dugout and involved in the game and watching the game. You're constantly, like Lucas Giolito, you constantly just, he's such a big figure. You constantly see him like wandering around the dugout. He's like a head taller than everyone else. And I love that. I love his omnipresence. And I love when you see a couple of guys standing there talking it over. I just think it just makes me happy. I can't define it
the
for
The camaraderie,
you.
The competition.
Yes,
that's what
it's
you like
wonderful.
To see, that builds team chemistry. Yeah, so I think that the strength of this team will continue to be its starting pitching. I will be very curious, though, to see how they handle Dylan Cease and how they prepare and when they start planning for the playoff rotation, because we already are sort of like, okay, who's going game one? Who's going game two? How does Dylan Cease fit in?
Yeah, that's
what's
way,
his role?
That's
yeah, that's way,
way
down the road.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about something else Stoney talked about, and I think it's interesting because I thought about it last night during the draft, but we didn't mention it when we were talking about the Sox's ability to draft and develop talent. Do you know how fast these tracks are that they're putting these guys on to get to the majors? Yesterday, last night, MLB Network had a graphic about, fast tracks to the majors. Three of the five guys referenced over the last several years, Nick Madrigal, Andrew Vaughn, and Garrett Crochet. Garrett Crochet was drafted in June and was in the majors later that summer.
Throwing 100 miles an hour.
Andrew Vaughn has more major league games than he's played in the 75th yesterday. He had 55 minor league games.
Right.
Nick Madrigal didn't spend a whole lot of time in the minors. What is it about the White Sox do you think that shifted philosophically that allowed them to take these chances and calculated risks?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think number one is those are high draft picks. Those are guys that they drafted pretty high.
Boom or bust, though.
Okay, but I think it's the situation the team finds itself in. I think that they don't, they need a second baseman because Madrigal's gone, and they had him as the second baseman. And why hold it back if you feel like your window has opened? And I think it's the same thing with Andrew Vaughn. I think they felt this guy's a professional hitter. This is a guy that will be our DH this year. And then, unfortunately, you had the injury, and so you gave him a whirl in left field. It was just a tryout kind of, and lo and behold,
it worked.
He's grabbed that job by the scruff of the neck, and he's doing a great job with it. But I don't know what his long-term situation is. I there are people calling me an idiot because I didn't have a problem with Aloy coming back and playing some left field. You only get like 20 days of rehab in the minor leagues, right? Mm-hmm. So if he's going to come back, depending on where the roster's at or what you need to do with him, why not let him get, obviously number one is don't let him get hurt, but you can't treat everyone with kid gloves.
Sure.
You got to act like they're coming back for the rest of the season. I want him to come back as the DH. Here's the thing that blows my mind about what's happened with the Sox. It starts out, you lose your DH effectively because your left fielder goes down and you move your DH to left field. So that's okay because you got your mean Mercedes. And then he goes for as long as he can go.
Right.
And then you bring up Gavin Sheets. And Gavin Sheets, who wasn't hit, what was the problem with Gavin Sheets? Well, he wasn't showing left-handed power in the minor league, so that's why you didn't invite him to Schaumburg. That's why he went off and kind of changed his swing and worked with his dad last year. Great story. Well, he's come up and he looks like he's got a lot of power.
Yeah,
he's knocked in three home runs. I mean, you go back and look at his numbers in the minor leagues.
Not like this.
Not like this.
And by the way, the dad still looks like he could take somebody deep.
Doesn't the dad he? Looks Larry like Sheets. He, I mean, Larry might want to dye his hair. Other than that, he looks like a ball player right now.
Here's what I think, though, about the Sox is interesting. And as they continue to get more attention, as you know, teams in the postseason tend to do, the national spotlight on them, their draft and development plan seems very much like a throw them in the deep end,
yeah,
and we'll see how they do. Jake Berger, Gavin Sheets, the three guys I mentioned who made quick paths through the minor leagues, how will that affect other teams when they see how much success the White Sox have in drafting and developing quickly?
Well, it's a copycat league, and whenever you have success, people look at that. I think when people look at the White Sox, what they'll see is the long-term contracts that were given to Louis Robert and Moncada and younger players that you think are going to be good for a long time. You've got them, you know, under control.
Right.
You're bringing up these young guys. They're under control.
Right.
Even, you know, you're not even spending a lot of money on your pitching because Lance Lynn was a one-year rental player. And Rodon, you had basically non-tendered him, and you end up getting this player out of that. It's just extraordinary. So I think the feeling that this is the year for the White Sox is sort of being...
Is driving that?
I think it's driving
Could
it,
be.
And I think it's hitting that button, too.
I wonder what the effect will be on other teams who tried to do that, which I'm also asking is, when will Jordan Wicks join the Cubs rotation? That's what I'm asking.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because I think... When you look at the Cubs, they've got to start looking at the future. And we know the future game was yesterday, and Brennan Davis ended up bold, brave, and undaunted. Brennan on the Moor ends up as it's an Irish song.
Where'd that come from?
It's an old Irish song.
Two homers.
He ends up with two homers. He's the MVP of that game. That signals, as we start talking about the future, it's not just – Nico Hoerner, he's going to be there. You saw him in training camp. You see a guy make a move like that. You know, they've got some pieces.
How about
hopefully.
Justin Steele at Iowa yesterday, part of a no-hitter in his first start down there, stretching him out. So a lot of things to talk about the future. And how about the present? Wilson Contreras, I want to touch on that again before we get out of here.
Okay, we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw. Live and local, Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Brennan Davis, the 1-1, ships it to center. It's deep. It is back. It is to the trees. Brennan Davis with the solo shot. The National League with all the pop this afternoon. You've seen some baseball fly today like that one from Brennan Davis. Up and gone. He's got two!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. Pretty good. Pretty good. Two home runs. Pretty good being the MVP of the Futures game, and that's what Brennan Davis pulled off yesterday. And that's good news for the Cubs, and they need some good news. It's draft time. You draft a left-handed pitcher you like. You got a young guy that's doing well, and... meanwhile, the team.
What's his timetable?
What's Brennan Davis's? Brennan Davis.
Yeah, when's he coming to Chicago?
What is it today? It's a.
Today's Monday.
Okay,
July 12th.
So when can you get rid of all the
dead weight?
The layabout, useless.
All the players that don't play like Contreras and Baez.
Those are the only two guys you keep.
Unfocused veterans, distracted easily.
So we're making light of it.
Yeah,
we're making fun of it because that's what Wilson Contreras said. He said that basically it's myself and Javier Baez and everybody else. We're playing hard and I get it. Not everyone can play as hard as we play. Not everyone has the energy that we have. Not everyone can be a 2.5 WAR player. But, man, have you seen some of these guys? It's time for everybody to kick themselves in the rear end. Are you listening, fellas? And then David Ross, no, we don't say that out loud. We say that in the privacy of the family. You never come out with that. You know, do not blurt that out, Wilson Contreras.
It was a knock at the leadership of the team in the clubhouse.
Okay.
The clubhouse leaders would have taken offense and were offended. I would
name
think Anthony Rizzo and Jason Hayward would be the two guys that would take umbrage at what Wilson Contreras had to say most. You know, some people may mention Chris Bryant, but I think, as we mentioned earlier, Chris Bryant seems like a guy that is pretty agreeable. He will nod and smile and show up and do whatever you need him to do. He's not a guy that necessarily probably – he commands respect, but I don't think he's as vocal of a leader as some of those other guys. And so
– is it a reach to describe Chris Bryant as sort of a Ryan Sandberg-type personality where it's more of a straight line
I think that's a good
than
comparison.
An up-and-down guy yeah. where it's not like an overly emotional guy.
It's a compliment, too.
Oh, it's a great compliment.
Because you have to be true to your personality.
Yeah.
And if Chris Bryant's personality is what you just described, then great. That's authentic. What Wilson Contreras said Saturday night, that's also authentic. That's who he is. And if you're going to applaud and embrace him when he's the fiery catcher who is getting in his pitcher's ear and going to the mound for Adbir Alzolay's starts and he's telling him what he needs to do and he's the guy behind the plate that you trust to provide that fire and passion, if you will,
mm-hmm.
then when he goes off a little bit in frustration, you've got to be understanding of that and respectful of that. And you know what? He is a team leader. You got to have his back, David Ross. And he didn't. The manager didn't. And I think that would bother me if I were Wilson Contreras, who, by the way, as you pointed out and noticed, was not in the lineup before they canceled that game and gave the Cubs the day off that they
right,
needed.
Right. Yeah. And you know, we went back and looked at it. It was Thursday. He did sit out Thursday despite Chris Bryant being out, despite Javi Baez being out, right?
That was so an you awful would, lineup.
Well, that was Jason Hayward at cleanup. Didn't we have like an argument about that? You were insisting that he should always be the cleanup hitter.
That was Dustin.
I knew it was someone.
That was Dustin.
And I was insisting that he should never be the cleanup hitter.
Right.
And we went at it a little bit.
That was Thursday when they lost 8-0 to the Phillies hours after Jed Hoyer declared the season over, essentially. And then the Cubs went out and they managed 5 hits against the Phillies.
And we complained that Contreras wasn't in that lineup.
He wasn't.
And we were like, no. They were told, listen, he needs a day off.
Day off.
Rossi knows catching. He needs a day off. Then he ends up playing and they win. And then he ends up playing and they get beaten badly. And he ends up going off. And all of a sudden, he's off again.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Didn't he just have the day off? Yeah, but we're getting to the All-Star break, so we wanted him to have the extra day. No, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think David Ross probably, okay, so reading between the lines.
Yeah.
After he spoke, after we heard from Contreras Saturday night, Rossi probably heard from his team leaders in that clubhouse. He probably heard from other players that didn't appreciate being called out by Wilson Contreras. And whether it was via text or in person, he decided he was had to say something the next day, had to do something the next day. Wilson Contreras not in the lineup. And David Ross came out publicly and saying that he wished he would have kept that in-house. He could have just said, that's Wilson being Wilson. We're all frustrated. It's time to move on. We're going to handle this internally. But he didn't.
You could have come out and said, that's the reason we love Wilson Contreras.
Yes.
Because he's such a competitor that it gets to him so much. But Wilson knows that everybody's working hard, and when you're in a little bit of a team slump, yeah, I mean, there's ways of handling that.
You could have said, I want 25 guys who care as much about winning as Wilson Contreras clearly does, or 24 if you count Baez in there. Because Javi was the one that when he mentioned him, it kind of, a lot of people kind of disconnected, like, oh, Javi Baez doesn't play that hard all the time, does he? Doesn't have that much focus all the time.
Right.
But Wilson Contreras does. I don't know that you can find many times or examples in his career. And by the way, this is a guy who has been your starting catcher for 6 seasons.
Yeah.
This is not a guy who, when he speaks, he doesn't really, you know resonate though, or it shouldn't.
With all due respect, he's also kind of an emotional dude that goes up and down and is going to say something and, you know, didn't like a bat throw, so I'm going to throw mine more. I mean, I'm just saying – usually, if you're that volatile a personality, team leader isn't necessarily hooked to you.
But if you're going to celebrate it when it works and when that fire kind of ignites somebody or a team or whatever it is the case, when you benefit from that show of emotion, you can't really turn around, or it's inconsistent to turn around and then all of a sudden, well, you know, that's Wilson speaking out of turn and that's just, you know, not something we can live with. Come on. That is who he is.
let's close it out. We'll bring in Jack. 312-644-6767. Jack's on I-94. Hey, Jack.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, this thing with apparently, you know, we're the conjecture of Hayward being taken umbrage with this. What? He's a team leader? What is he batting, like 125? Usually my definition of a leader is somebody who can, produces. Somebody has some,
hit his own
resume.
Weight. Yeah. The guy that can hit his own weight.
I'm sorry. I play sports. Why would I listen to you right now?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. David Ross was a team leader, and he wasn't, he would occasionally run into a home run, but he was definitely a guy that could go to different players and tell them to.
I think it's a case-by-case basis. Yeah. And in the case of Jason Hayward, you have to consider the context. He has been here since 2016.
Yeah.
He has emerged as a clubhouse voice that people respect,
mm-hmm.
and he gave one of the most famous speeches in Cubs history.
And when the current manager was a player, he upgraded him into a suite for his last year in the league.
I mean, that's not to be forgotten when you're talking about
come on,
a manager
kidding.
Who is siding with one group against another.
Now we got groups.
You're the one
we're squaring off.
Well. What else would you say that it is? Wilson Contreras identified Javi Baez and himself as having one method of approach
wow.
and one level of intensity, and then everybody else having another.
So do you think that Anthony Rizzo's mad at Baez too? Just for being mentioned?
I don't know that he's mad at Baez too.
I'm just creating trouble. I'm just being mean-spirited. We're going to bring in Dan and Layla next. We'll get a chance to talk to our beloved colleagues. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.